In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a solemn and significant day when we remember and honour those who have served their country, those who have died, and those who have endured great suffering in times of war, especially World War I. We would like to welcome all of you this morning, especially those who have served this country, those from the RSL Toorak sub-branch. Welcome to you. Today we also commemorate All Saints' Day, a fitting commemoration and a day in the Christian calendar when we remember the saints, those we can name, like our patron saint, Saint John, and the many saints in our lives whom we honour for the role that they've played in our lives. Just outside this beautiful church here in Toorak, there's a soldiers' memorial. It can be seen by people in trams rattling along Toorak Road, or by walkers as they stroll along Clendon Road. It is a memorial to local people. The names on the memorial are of 120 parishioners, men and women, who risked their lives in World War I, and 36 souls who died. Other names have been added in the shadow of subsequent conflicts. The memorial, designed by Louis Williams, has a gum leaf motif around the top. There is also a brass plaque designed by John Trancombe Fryer, depicting the Angel of Victory handing a palm leaf, the symbol of martyrdom, to a fallen Australian soldier. Ironically, the original statue, the actual statue called the Winged Victory of Samothrace, which is over 2,000 years old and has been displayed in the Louvre since the early 20th century, was removed to safety with the imminent threat of World War II. As anyone who has walked past the memorial in the last 2 or 3 weeks will know, the memorial is currently covered with scaffolding because it's being restored. And we thank the Toorak Heroes Club, the Victorian Government, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the several volunteers from St John's. The other day, the stonemason asked if I'd like to see what he and a colleague were doing. I went to the top of the memorial to look at the skilled and dedicated work of the new pointing, the new crockets, part of the stone pointing at the very top, and the cleaning of the stonework. Near the top are the words, "Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget." Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. To be so close to these words, words that speak of God's love and protection, and the nature of remembering, was moving indeed. Why do we bother to restore memorials like this so faithfully? Are they not a relic of the past? The names of those that appear on the monument are sadly no longer with us. The First World War, and indeed other wars engraved on the memorial, are in the past. We restore this monument, this memorial, because it helps us to remember. The word memorial comes from memoriam, in memory of, and thus is associated with remembering. On Remembrance Day, we remember an Australian story, a story of loss, grief, courage and service. We dare not glamorise or mythologise what the Australian Armed Forces have done or have endured. Real heroism has little to do with chivalry or glory, but with endurance and loyalty and daily struggle to survive and, where possible, maintain one's integrity and humanity, often in the midst of unspeakable conditions. However, it is not an Australian story alone, but a universal story. There are many such memorials in countries which were once a foe. What unites us is that in mirror image, they too, on their special days, remember their loss, their grief and courage, tragedy, heroism and unfathomable suffering. The First World War was a conflict that has rightly been described as truly apocalyptic. As we know, it was meant to be the war to end all wars, and would it be so? But it is not. In the shadow of this war, decisions were made that ensured not enduring peace, but the seeds of more conflict and more violence. More failures that erupted into horror, and more names were added, and more theatres of conflict chiselled into stone or embossed in brass. So why do we remember? We remember so that we honour that which must be honoured: sacrifice, dogged duty, compassion, profound selflessness and dignity in the midst of madness. We honour the memory of those who have made the supreme sacrifice in times of war or peacekeeping operations. We remember so that we can mourn what must be mourned: the loss of so many lives, often painfully young lives, especially in World War I. Mourn crushed minds and broken bodies. Mourn and refute and reject the dangerous triumphalism so often invoked by leaders or governments pursuing power at all cost, or determined to take what is not theirs. Mourn the ongoingness of human discord. For example, the current civil war in Ethiopia in the region of Tigray, which has seen extreme human rights abuses. We remember so that we might act. Act as peacemakers ourselves, to oppose tyranny, advocate for servicemen and women who suffer ongoing health concerns, and be agents for peace in our own homes and work and community. Two scripture readings in particular this morning are well known and are often read at Remembrance Day services. The prophet Isaiah, writing 8 centuries before Christ, envisages a time when all nations will be faithful to God, and in this faithfulness will not seek war but peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah contrasts that which leads to death, spears and swords, with that which leads to life, humble agricultural tools, plowshares, and pruning hooks used for growing crops. This prophet of old urged his contemporaries to choose life over death and peace over war. And this urgency rings out today, doesn't it? This is imaginative boldness and a profoundly stirring hope. Isaiah was writing in a time of enormous brutal warfare among imperial powers, but he speaks hopefully of universal peace. It is a peace that still eludes us, but which we must continue to pray for and we must continue to work towards. In our gospel reading, often the reading for All Saints Day, Jesus teaches his disciples what are known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes surely describe Jesus Christ himself. Gentle, not weak, but gentle. Merciful, righteous, pure in heart, and a peacemaker. These are attributes of life, not death. Even persecution for doing what is right is life-giving. They are what makes for fullness of life, humility, compassion, justice, and peace. The Christian hope is to walk in the way of Jesus, a way of living one's life in the service of others and being messengers of peace. There's a lovely contemporary prayer which opens like this: Peace be here in the name of the King of Life, the peace of Christ above all peace. It's a beautiful prayer, well worth praying every day, but especially on a day such as today and this coming Thursday. Why do we remember, especially today? Why must we remember? It is because in the vast, overwhelming span of often faceless war and conflict, each service person, each peacekeeper, was and is someone, a unique, dignified human being, an individual made in the image of God. They were and are treasured. Their lives, often forfeited, were and are precious. Those who fought in the miserable trenches or in bloody conflict since then, those in our peacekeeping forces, those who are or were wounded in body, mind, or spirit, those here today who have served their country, each single one was and is loved, especially by God, and that must never be forgotten. So today, throughout this solemn service, regardless of their rank, role, gender, cultural background, or tour of duty, we remember those who have died and those who have served and continue to serve their country faithfully and well. Whether their names are on the memorial or not, today we will stop, be silent, and be grateful. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget.